Welcome to another Company Focus with Focus SME Magazine, the magazine for small business and innovation. Today, we're talking to Linda O'Sullivan, founder of Footbridge Learning, who makes games and other interactive activities which help children with dyslexia and learning difficulties. She started the company with the help of the LEAP program at Limerick Institute of Technology. Over a cup of coffee, we talked about Footbridge Learning, and Linda started off by talking about how her son has become the inspiration for her business.
It came from my own personal difficulties in trying to find products for my son that would get him engaged and interested in reading and also improve his reading fluency and comprehension. He suffers from dyslexia.
Okay, and was that something that... Did you do it out of annoyance, or did you do it because you saw a gap in the market that this was something that could be done?
It was both. At that time, I felt that he wasn't progressing as well as he should be. We started taking him to the Dyslexic Support Centre in Limerick, which provided fantastic learning support, and his reading improved a lot from working on that programme, which was based on tuition. And I suppose the problem was that it was very time intensive in bringing him into the tuition, and then especially having to start homework and, you know, dinner and everything else quite late in the evening then when he was tired. So I realised that there must be a lot of other parents in the same situation. 10% of kids are on the dyslexic spectrum. So and more than that again have difficulties with reading. So I felt there was a real need for something that could be used at home to complement learning support that's being received in school, but that's in a fun environment and feels like fun with results rather than more pain and punishment for being dyslexic or for having a reading difficulty.
Is that what part of the problem is as well, that as you said, the problem with the programs that are out there for dyslexia and learning difficulties, there's not something out there that grabs their attention and holds their attention and makes them feel like they're part of something, rather than it reinforces the point that they're actually a little bit different than ordinary kids?
I suppose my background was in developing content for kids' TV, so I was looking at it from a point of view of quality of visual content and quality of story content and characters, that there wasn't anything there that was competing with, I suppose, the media that kids are used to interacting with on a daily basis, because kids with dyslexia are very smart. They're as smart as any other kids. And they're as tuned in to what's going on in the wider world as any kids. So I felt that some of the products that were out there catering to that market were a little bit patronizing and childish for the age target. I'm talking about the 8 to 12 age target. And I felt that firstly, if you got them into a positive frame of mind where they were motivated and having fun, that you've half the battle won at that stage, and then the rest is about using teaching support methods and learning intervention methods that have been proven to work, that have the scientific research behind them, and putting them into that environment where the kid is relaxed and having fun and enjoying what they're doing.
How do you go about getting some funding for a program like that? Because obviously it's not something that people could turn to, you know, like a manufacturing company where you could give them stats about where the market is and so on and stuff like that. So how do you go into, we'll say, an enterprise board? How do you go into a LEAP, for instance, and say, look, this is a really great idea that's going to work? Did they need convincing, or was it just, was there something there that speaks for itself?
Well, I suppose first off, I at a very early stage had a chat with the LEAP people at the time. It was Donica and Graham who were here, and they were very encouraging. I went and spoke to the Clare County Enterprise Board at an early stage as well, and Enterprise Ireland at a very early stage. They were all very encouraging, and I got a feasibility study grant from the Clare County Enterprise Board at an early stage, which allowed me to do further market research. And with that, I went to the UK and I met with the British Dyslexia Association. And they again were very encouraging and reinforced my belief that there was a gap in the market for this type of product. I also met with a lot of teachers and other experts in the area and liaised with the Limerick support, our Dyslexic Support Centre, all the way through, who also gave me access to parents of kids who were attending the centre. So I suppose when I started compiling that primary and secondary research, it did become clear that there was a gap, and I suppose a timely gap, because it is just now that even mainstream educational software products are moving from CD-based products onto live online subscription-based offerings, which is what our product is.
What was your reaction from kids to this program? I know you're at the beta stage, you're at the kind of the startup kind of stage, but what did they feel when they use this program? Do you see a dramatic difference in the way they begin to learn and see things?
Well, first and foremost, what kids are concerned about is fun, whether it's fun or not. So that's their primary concern. So their parents are looking at it more from a results-based level. Now, what we have at the moment in terms of our prototype is really a sampler of what the full product will look like when it's finished. It doesn't contain a structured learning program at this stage. It just contains a sample of how it will look and function when it's finished. Our next stage of development is creating that learning program and that reading program, and we will be doing intensive testing on that before and after basis and clinical trials. For the moment, at this early prototype stage and this early stage of testing, what we're looking to know from kids is how much fun they're having, how much they enjoy it, and once we feel that we have a grasp on that, then we can integrate the learning program into that.
We've talked a little bit about the business itself and what it does. I mean, for you personally, this has come about obviously from your son and the ideas that you got from that and the difficulty he had learning. From your own personal point of view, what have been the difficulties, in starting this kind of business? What have you felt was something that was a stumbling block, but you overcame?
I suppose a big one was getting the prototype out there, and that whole process of finding the most effective way of getting that produced, because it involves so many different skills. Obviously, the educational content was a huge area, and there had to be a huge amount of consultation on that. Then there's the animation, and there's the programming, there's the reporting structure, and then there's the delivery of all of that on a cloud-based system. So it was a very, very steep learning curve. One of the key factors in getting over all those stumbling blocks was taking on a partner who had complementary skills to mine, who had technical skills that I didn't have. And Jennifer Keane, who was originally taken on just to project manage the prototype production, became invaluable to the whole process to such an extent that she joined the company as a partner and has been really key to moving the company forward to the next phase.
When a lot of people out there find it difficult on their own to run a company and to kind of make sure everything, they're wearing seven or eight different hats all at the same time, and maybe thinking about going out there to try and find a partner to bring into the business, what would you say to them is probably one of the keys to finding one of those partners? Is it finding somebody that has the skills you don't, or is it finding somebody that has the skills that match up with yours, or what is it?
Well, it's something I suppose I had in my mind for a long time, but I had no idea how to approach this. And in the end, it happened purely by luck that I ended up in the same office building, and we ended up working together on a project. But I would say, from my point of view in retrospect, that the most important factor in deciding that this would be a good partnership potential is, I think, yes, complementary skills are very, very important, but also I think somebody who shares a passion for the project itself, for what we're trying to do, and for it's about attitude, I think, about having the right attitude and knowing that you can work with the person. I think that's almost more important than anything else.
You talk about the product itself as well. There must be so many different branches which can come from that, from this one single product. What, do you have any kind of other ideas, other kind of projects that you might want to start working on a year from now, once this has become settled and stuff like that? Where do you want to branch out?
Yeah, we do, certainly. Like I say, we will be starting with the AppSpace product very quickly after we launch the online version of this, and obviously they will be adapted and be slightly different. And then also we are concerned with developing products for older kids going into the teenage years, because I feel that there is definitely a gap in that market as well. Younger kids and preschool kids are very well catered to in the educational market, but it gets thinner on the ground as kids get older. And I suppose once we develop a relationship with that customer base, we want to stay with them as they get older.
It must be harder though for kids who are that in that age group to kind of, I don't know, come forward and say that they do have learning difficulties, because of the fact that obviously they're in school, they're with older people that are the same age as them. How do you get around that? Because that's obviously, you know, school can be a great place, but it can also be a very difficult place as well. So how do you try and entice them into that kind of product? I realise I've talked to you about a product you haven't really started yet, but I mean,
it is very difficult, because it is very difficult at that age to have learning difficulties, because the bullying is a big issue, self-esteem is a big issue, along with all the other issues that teenagers have to contend with, you know, in any basis. We haven't been actively thinking about a market strategy for that next line of products yet, but we will be looking at it differently, in that we will probably be looking at products that have more of a community group, youth group integration, so that we would be talking about products that can be used more in group teaching situations. So, and particularly for social skills also. So it is something we'll be examining in much more detail further down the line.
When do you see your company in 5 years' time? If you could kind of look into a metaphorical crystal ball and kind of, you know, see, you know, obviously you have your own designs and you have your own directions in which you want to progress. So what do you see as the future of Footbridge Learning?
Well, where we'd like to be in 5 years' time is, we would like to have, obviously we would like to be a market leader in this area, in the English-speaking world. So we do have ambitions to export, starting with the UK market and then moving on to the US, Canadian, Australian markets. Because the Irish market is so small, we will have to survive through export. But we also have some other virtual world products that we will start developing next year. That would be related to our original offer, but would expand our product base out into other related but wider areas as well. And also the apps market is going to be very, very important for us. And we particularly see the iPad market as a huge market for us, as it looks at this early stage as if educational software directions are going to be very influenced by the iPad.
All right,
thank you so much.
No problem.
That's it for today. Don't forget you can listen to all our interviews on focusme.ie and also on audioboo.com/focusmemagazine. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.